the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Wisconsin has surpassed 150, the bulk of those cases so far in Milwaukee and Dane counties. The State Department of Health Services also says more than 2,000 tests have come back negative. This morning, President Trump and his coronavirus task force held another briefing. FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn said they're being aggressive in finding an effective treatment for the virus.
We have people who every day it's their job to develop treatments for all sorts of diseases. We are incredibly blessed as a country to have this. And as is true in any illness, these great American innovators, academia, private sector, they have engaged us about the best possible treatment options. We are looking at everything that's coming across our desks as possible treatment options for coronavirus.
We've been getting a lot of questions, many of them medical in nature, about the outbreak through our Wisconsin portal, Facebook, email, and Ideas Network talk shows. We thought it'd be a good service to bring on a doctor now to answer some of them. If you have a question about COVID-19, how the virus behaves inside and outside the body, how it spreads, who's at risk, how it's treated, or something along those lines, give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Mark Thompson is the president of medical groups in Wisconsin for SSM Health. Dr. Thompson, good to have you with us today.
Good afternoon.
Before we get to some of our listener questions, I was curious, how are institutions like the ones you work with ramping up, gearing up to get ready for a possible influx of cases of people affected by COVID-19?
Sure. We have what we call an incident command structure in place, which is a response system to deal with pandemics and disasters so that we can deal with the needed resources that our patients may have in such situations.
And we hear talk concerns about things like testing kits on the one hand, and also ventilators and respirators. We've seen problems with that in countries like Italy. How are we doing on gearing up to make sure we have those if and when they're needed?
Sure. Well, the first response that the state of Wisconsin's had that we're totally supportive is containment. And we really ask the public's help in really being responsible and following social distancing. That way we can delay the progression of this illness so we can respond to those with the greatest need. So that's number one. Number two is we're really allocating our resources, and we have what we call surge capacities plans in place at each of our hospitals, and working with all of our ambulatory clinics to make sure that we have the ability to care for those that may need hospitalization or acute care.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about when people show up at the hospital, how quickly these cases develop, because hospitals and other healthcare institutions, they're dealing with all the stuff they normally would, the flus, heart problems, things like that. But if you've got 100 people who are going to get sick, I imagine it's very different for a hospital if it's 10 people per week for 10 weeks versus 100 people showing up in the emergency room in 1 week. That public effort can really make a difference at that kind of thing, can it?
Absolutely. You know, and who I worry the most about are our elders. And if we could do anything, is really being very responsible, knowing that the greatest risk for complications or hospitalization or death related to COVID-19 are really in those age 60 and over. And the older an individual is, the greater the risk.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Rita is with us in Milwaukee. Rita, hello.
Hi.
Well, what did you want to ask about, Rita?
I was wondering, when you see footage of China and their personal protective equipment, basically like head to toe, everything covered, versus what I've seen footage of the hospitals here where it's not quite like that.
What are we using? Yeah, interesting question, Rita. Thank you. What are we using, Dr. Thompson, for protective gear for healthcare providers working with coronavirus patients?
Yeah, Rita, we've learned a lot more about COVID-19 since the China epidemic. And what we've learned is it's primarily spread by respiratory droplets. And so the protection that we're using is preventative from spreading those respiratory droplets. We use increased protection in higher risk settings, such as the ICU, if a patient is ventilated, or if they're going to be receiving certain procedures that may cause someone to aerosolize the COVID-19. And that's where we preserving that protective equipment because that's where it is needed in that case.
Thanks for that call, Rita. We're talking to Dr. Mark Thompson, president of Medical Groups in Wisconsin for SSM Health, answering your questions about COVID-19 and the coronavirus that causes it and how we can protect ourselves. You know, a question we've gotten a lot, Dr. Thompson, from a lot of listeners is it safe to eat fresh fruits and vegetables? Do we have to worry, you know, at the market about who's handled the produce before us? What do we know, if anything, about whether or not this virus can be transmitted that way?
I know of no known transmission through fresh fruits and vegetables as long as you're following standard precautions and washing your vegetables and fruit.
Okay. And then people had other food-related questions. The restaurants, we can't go in them now, but how about ordering takeout from the restaurants? Do we have to be careful there?
You have to be careful. We're certainly recommending the social distancing. I went to the restaurant next door today at work. They had excellent precautions in place. You could tell they had removed all the common condiments. They were sanitizing. They were using gloves appropriately and doing takeout only.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Marshall. John, hello.
Yeah, I had a question on the definition of community spread that was on a news notice that was put on this afternoon that we had 150-some cases in Wisconsin. What does community spread mean?
John, great question. This is something that I think is new in a lot of our vocabularies. What do we mean when we talk about community spread?
Community spread is when a disease is circulating in the community. And when we trace our patients back to contacts, we can't identify a particular contact.
So that would be as opposed to maybe a slower spreading, less easily spread disease, where you can say if patient A has it, we trace those contacts, we can have that line of, I guess, provenance of where the disease came from. That in some ways is easier to manage if we had that as opposed to community spread. Do I have that right?
That is correct.
Thank you so much for that call at 800-642-1234. Jim joins us now in Sun Prairie. Jim, hello.
Hello. The question I have for the doctor is I'm also a physician, and one of the things that I haven't been able to figure out yet is how long do people shed the virus? I've been reading some articles that say that viral shedding may continue up to 30 days, which means that a 14-day quarantine or stay at home wouldn't be adequate. And then the other part of the question I'm interested in is once you get the infection, have we proven that people have immunity so that if somebody got the infection, certainly a healthcare worker, that they would be able to treat patients that were working up without having to worry about, you know, getting the infection again?
Great questions. And I know researchers are working on those. Dr. Thompson, your thoughts on those two important points?
Absolutely. And research is working on that. It's still a novel virus. We're still learning a great deal. I've seen the same reports about shedding. What's not known is they can test for shedding, whether it's really infective or not. That's an unknown question at this point in time.
And so viral shedding, meaning what exactly?
So viral shedding, you know, you may be able to test for virus, but is it really infective or not?
And for those healthcare workers, if they've been infected, do we have a policy in place for when we know they have the all clear and they can get back to working with patients?
Yes, we are following the CDC guidelines for healthcare workers in regards to exposure.
Now, another question we've been getting a lot, and I've heard other call-ins tackle this, the question of how long the virus can live. I know there are questions about whether viruses are actually a form of life, but let's say they are for now. How long they live on various kinds of surfaces, including like hard surfaces like a table?
Yeah, I've seen multiple reports on that and not really prepared to give a standard answer because I've seen multiple reports. What I recommend is social distancing and that we're sanitizing several times a day at least and following proper hand hygiene and sanitizing.
We're talking about the COVID-19 outbreak with Dr. Mark Thompson. He's president of Medical Groups in Wisconsin for SSM Health. You can join in at 800-642-1234. 1234. What's on your mind with regard to this virus, how it spreads, how it's treated? You can ask about what it does, how to protect ourselves. Call in at 800-642-1234. Of course, you can't make a diagnosis over the phone. 800-642-1234 is the number, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our talk about the COVID-19 outbreak with Dr. Mark Thompson. He's president of medical groups in Wisconsin for SSM Health. And you can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. We've gotten a lot of questions on our Wisconsin portal, Facebook, and other platforms. You can call in as well, 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Dr. Thompson, we've heard from our listeners and we've heard about news reports that there are shortages of things like whole blood and platelets. Should people who are currently healthy be donating now, since fewer people are probably able to do that right now?
I would recommend that if an individual is healthy and they are able to donate, that they participate in any blood donation activities as possible. We are worried about this over the next 30 to 60 days. And with the social distancing in place, certainly the donations and activities have decreased.
Let's go back to our callers now. Doug is with us in Madison. Doug, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up?
I'm supposed to be coming in next week for a cancer biopsy. Is there going to be a separate entrance for me to enter into that doesn't put me at risk to the COVID?
Interesting, Doug. Thanks for the call. Dr. Thompson, how are we making sure that people who might have a compromised immune system in the case of cancer treatment aren't coming into the same spaces as someone with this very infectious illness?
Sure. So first and foremost, we do have a screening process through our virtual visit platform on SSMHealth.com, which is really directing anyone with symptoms or that rules in for testing to a discrete testing center. That's number one. Number two, we have stood up at our hospital locations, and we'll be standing up at all of our ambulatory locations, mandatory screening points and isolated entry points to screen for symptoms. And then we have a process to deal with anyone that screens positive. That includes employees as well as patients and visitors.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Brian calling from near Appleton. Brian, hello.
Hi, sir. Semi-truck driver here.
And what'd you want to ask about, Brian?
We're allowed to drive right up into Canada, go across Canada, go back down to the States, bring the food to the American people, and then take something back to Canada. And we're going back and forth, back and forth. And they're letting us do that where no one else can go across the borders now. And just wondering, like, only time we get out of the truck, we have all our food on the truck and the sanitizer in the truck. We only get out to fuel, rest area, and when we deliver, we just walk up, get our paperwork, they unload, we get the paperwork and go back. Is there a risk on the paperwork? Is there a risk touching the dials on the gas, the diesel fuel pumps without gloves? How are we doing with all that?
Interesting. Brian, thanks for that call, Dr. Thompson. How can Brian make sure he isn't picking up the disease or spreading it, going on about his very important business of bringing us food?
Yes, and I would say that, you know, overall that risk is very low. And my recommendation is carry some hand sanitizer with you, and before and after, you know, before you eat, after you eat, before you pump gas, after you pump gas, and your risk would be very, very low overall.
All right, Brian, keep up the good work. Thanks so much for calling in. We're taking your questions about COVID-19. Mark, Dr. Thompson, who should be seeking testing at this point, given the number of tests available and what we know about the disease? Who should be the priority to get testing right now?
So right now, and working with state health departments, our number one focus are those at the greatest risk. So those are patients that are requiring hospitalization or having complications requiring hospitalization. Nursing home patients are at that risk. And actually healthcare workers testing. We need our healthcare workforce to care for patients or any surge of patients that may need that. So those are priorities. Then we look at the next level of care, and those are patients with symptoms, which would include fever, shortness of breath, and cough are the major symptoms, and known exposure or travel in areas with COVID-19.
And we've heard from some people who want to know, you know, if I do get tested, what is it like? What actually happens to me when I get tested?
It's pretty simple overall. It's what we call a nasal swab. So you can, for our listeners out there, basically a Q-tip in the nose is what it is.
Pretty straightforward. We're talking to Dr. Mark Thompson, president of medical groups in Wisconsin for SSM Health. He's answering your questions about COVID-19, how it's treated. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We're also sharing questions we've received through our Wisconsin portal on the Ideas Network Facebook page and elsewhere. Let's go back to your calls now. Andrew is with us in Madison. Andrew, hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. What do you want to ask about, Andrew?
Okay, so I wanted to ask, I know that there's been a release by at least like the WHO and a certain, you know, meta-analysis of, you know, like what cases need hospitalization and which cases do not. Is there, I know that it's been released for like all cases, but has there been any sort of data released about a breakdown of, say, for an example, if I am like 40 years old and like what are the chances that if I get, you know, infected that I might need hospitalization? Thank you.
Andrew, thanks for the call. I imagine that's a moving target right now, Dr. Thompson.
It is. And I would say, you know, those under 60, what we see, the risk is, I would say under 60 and not other complications in regards to your health. So no other chronic diseases or immunosuppression or other illness. The risk is very low on under 60 overall.
Thanks for that call. Another question we get is people saying, hey, if I have a routine doctor's appointment or dentist appointment coming up, if they haven't been canceled by providers, I know that's happening some already. Should I keep that appointment or should I reach out and say, hey, we can put this off for now?
So absolutely. So if you have a routine appointment and you like to reschedule, certainly all of our healthcare facilities and all of our dentists are accommodating those requests. Many of our healthcare facilities in the Madison area are going week by week and reaching out to patients to help reschedule or postpone appointments.
And social distancing, of course, is a phrase we're hearing a lot. Measure it out for us. What's a good distance when we're near other people?
6 feet is the recommendation that's out there.
All right. Let's take another caller now. John is online in Green Bay. John, hello.
Hi. I heard your comments earlier about washing fruits and vegetables from the grocery store, and I saw in a BBC News report they were recommending you wash your cans and packages down with soap and water, too. I was wondering what you think of that.
Dr. Thompson, is that a recommendation at this point that you know of?
Yeah, certainly anything that you have recently purchased or it's been touched by someone else or is in a social setting, that makes sense before you open it. That's all very simply done. The risk if something's been sitting in your cupboard and you're the only person touching and eating yourself, the overall risk to you is pretty low.
Thanks for that call. Sue joins us now in Madison. Sue, hello.
Hi. I have a question for Dr. Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a nurse in the area. I just got off work, and you're talking about social distancing. Well, the hospital that I work at, and I won't tell you which one it is. It could be the same one that you work at. However, those rooms are small, and you just said 6 feet across, you know, for social distancing. Well, those rooms are so small that there is no 6 feet across, especially when you get a patient in there, and then you have a family member, and then you have a nurse, and then you have a doctor all in the room all at once. And nobody is wearing masks. None of the employees are wearing masks. However, we are not fitted for any COVID-19 N95 masks because we don't have anybody positive on our floor. But we have to
Sue, I got you. We just have a few moments left. Dr. Thompson, social distancing in a tight exam room.
So, again, we have a screening process in place at all of our facilities and triaging, and so we have the proper equipment and where we need to have it in our hospitals and in our acute facilities.
All right. Thanks for that call. Let's hit a couple more questions we've heard over the last few days from our listeners. Here's one. Is it okay to go out in the yard or for walks or bike rides at this point?
I actually highly recommend it. People should step outside and feel free and follow the social distancing recommendation. And it's great to get out of your house and go for a walk or a bike ride. Highly recommend it.
And we also heard questions about whether it can be passed to pets or via pets. What do we know, if anything, about that?
You know, that there's been some case reports where pets have been identified to have it, but what I've heard is that it's not able to be transmitted from a dog to a human, and that's as much as I know at this point in time.
Now, we see, Dr. Thompson, occasionally products being marketed as a cure or preventative for coronavirus, apart from things that we know for sure, hand sanitizer and old-fashioned soap and water. If somebody says they're selling us a cure for coronavirus, should we take it at face value?
You should not take it as face value. And there's all kinds of examples of people trying to profit off of fear. And I would ask everyone to remain calm for the most part. Most people that get this illness will move forward and recover, like the cold or like influenza. We have to be primarily concerned about the very sick and the very old.
And briefly, before I let you go, you work with a lot of doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals. How's morale? How are they feeling right now?
It's been a very trying week, in the sense a lot of ramping up, preparing for what may be coming. We have incredible staff, nurses, physicians, people working EVS, people working in the cafeterias, feeding our patients, have just done a tremendous job, including our nursing homes. I could never be prouder. And I would ask for the support of the community and our healthcare workers as we really prepare for this pandemic.
Dr. Thompson, thanks a lot for joining us. That's Dr. Mark Thompson, president of medical groups in Wisconsin for SSM Health. We had him on to answer your questions about COVID-19. A lot of those we talked about today submitted through the Wisconsin Project. You can head over there to Wisconsin. It's at the WPR.org website.